What's up, Jets fans? Welcome back to yet another edition of the Jet Stream. My name's Jesse Finver. With me, as always, my co-host, Connor Sheeran. Connor, we're cooked.
It's over.
What other ways can we put this? We're done, kaput. Throw us into the, add us to the cookbook. Whatever, however you want to describe it. The Jets season's over. And it couldn't have ended on like a worse note, man. It couldn't have.
About as bad as it gets. We're saying that, and
it's not hyperbole. Like
it's not hyperbole. Like that's about the only way it could end worse is if they were the Chargers in that game on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Like, and they lose by that much. technically they still have three games to go. And
but doesn't matter.
Like it doesn't. I mean, obviously at this point it doesn't matter because for a few things, like playoffs are gone. Rodgers ain't playing. So
we are expecting me some to like reason he's just like, screw it. I want to prove everybody wrong, but I can't imagine there's no reason for him to come back.
He had to have watched that line play on Sunday and been like, I mean, you saw it on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Like of how visibly annoyed and angry he was. And
do we know if anybody's like been able to do the lip reading necessary to find out?
That's good.
What was going on between Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers? Most likely on Tuesday. So this episode will come out on Tuesday, but later in the day, Pat McAfee will have Rodgers on.
Yeah.
We're going to find out a whole lot. There was no way we were going to find out from Salah today. About Rodgers. Aaron's going to, he's going to, it's going to come straight from the horse's mouth.
Yeah. With Rodgers. I mean, they have their deadline for doing anything with him is Wednesday. So,
yeah
it comes from that. And that Salah said today that Wilson's in concussion protocol, which was just another weird classic Jets thing from Sunday. It's like, he's dehydrated, which I understand. Because like Miami they're so devious, and I know I feel like we've talked about this before, and I'm sure people are aware. But like how Miami has their stadium set up, like such like
sun
a grand shines on the opposing team sideline. That is brilliant, by the way.
Yeah.
Like it's South Florida sun. Like brilliant move on their part. But like it went
but
from
screw,
Zach.
But screw them. Like
yeah, I mean I hate them.
How dare they? Yeah,
I hate them being smart like that. But yeah, I went from Zach's dehydrated, which I was like, okay, I can kind of understand that. He's been getting smacked around behind the line of scrimmage the entire game so far. I can't imagine he wants to go back in at this moment, and he probably is somewhat dehydrated. So sure, let him go back into the locker room.
But like, the whole way it went down was so weird. But the reporting of the injury, it was bizarre.
Yeah, then it's like, oh, he's got a head injury, and then but he's not in concussion protocol. Oh, wait, no, he is in concussion protocol. Then there was the shot that Zach Rosenblatt posted of him going to the x-rays. I was like,
yeah, why?
Well, I was like who's getting next? Like,
a skull contusion? Like,
yeah, or like, did he break his neck or something? Like, what happened here? It was it was a very strange couple of hours. And, we were forced to sit there and watch Trevor Siemian. Well, I mean, not we. I
turned it off.
I
had my buddy over. I had one of my friends over. He was like, I'm ride or die, man. We're going to watch the game. I'm like,
I mean,
okay. We had red zone on also.
Yeah, I switched over to red zone.
It was a bad day of football in general, too.
I mean,
I was out of fantasy. Like, I had no
fantasy
implications. So I didn't really care about anything going on in the league. And the Jets were getting smoked. So, like, nothing else mattered. And it would have been devastating. If we won and then, like, the Browns won the way they did, Houston won the way they did, it would have been a painful day, even if we did win.
But, I mean, it would have been different because it's just like the playoff hopes were so slim anyway.
Yeah,
I just wanted to see them beat the Dolphins. You know,
and see Rodgers, come back and play.
Yeah, possibly see Rodgers. That's it. And I wanted to see Zach ball out again. But apparently, the offensive line forgot how to play, and the entire offensive line
they've had
a revamp. Like, so
they've been forgetting how to play, and like they weren't like they may have beaten Houston last week pretty handily, but Zach was under pressure a whole lot. During that game, and he played really well despite it. It just the Dolphins, Vic Fangio saw Mekhi Becton and was licking his chops. Was like, Bradley Chubb, you're gonna have a heck of a day. You're gonna have a lot of fun with this guy because he certainly did. But I don't necessarily want to talk about only this game because the season's over. The Jets were eliminated, as everybody knows, because the Browns and Houston won. Either way, they weren't making the playoffs at 8-9. That just wasn't going to happen. Not with Joe Flacco playing the way he's playing. Still can't get over that throw he had to Amari Cooper. Just
that was unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
To any Jet fan watching him play with the Browns and being like, oh, why didn't they keep Flacco? Flacco, he's like, his feet are in cement. Like, you can't. Yeah. And it doesn't matter what quarterback is behind this line of scrimmage. It doesn't matter.
With this coaching staff, too, I'm starting to realize that, you know, there are a lot of other teams that have injuries right now. And they have injured offensive line. The Browns are down to their whole offensive line is hurt. Like, they're down. Both their tackles are hurt. Their left guard and their right guard. They're on their second or third left guard and right guard. They're on their backup center. The Jets are doing the same thing. In fact, they have two day one starters.
Right.
The issue is that this team came into the season thinking that a 38-year-old, 39-year-old Dwayne Brown, who's coming off of shoulder surgery, is going to be good enough to protect Aaron Rodgers. Mekhi Becton hasn't stayed healthy in two seasons.
And he sucks.
AVP had a hurt, had a torn tricep last year, and now he's a torn Achilles. You had you drafted Joe Tippmann, and you know he got a lot of playing time this year, and he looked really good at guard. When AVT was playing at tackle, and he looked good at center when AVT was playing next to him. But I mean, you know, now you can't even rely on Elijah Vera Tucker because he has a torn Achilles. And I mean, listen, Aaron Rodgers is able to come back quickly because of the certain surgery he got. I have no idea what Elijah Vera Tucker's rehab is looking like. But there are plenty of teams that are dealing with injuries right now. They're still winning. Houston just won a game with Case Keenum, you know, like a big game.
The Giants won three games in a row with Tommy DeVito, and
the Colts have had Gardner Minshew all season.
Yeah. Like,
there's so many teams in the playoff hunt right now.
Yeah. Teams with bad offensive lines who are injured and are still finding ways to win. The Jets do not have, like, Cincinnati has just Jake Browning. Back.
Albeit their offensive line is like the only offensive line unit. They said it during the game, right? The only offensive line unit to not sustain an injury this season. Guys, so
to hear that is just
crazy.
Unbelievable.
Houston's with a backup quarterback. Indy's with a backup quarterback. Tennessee's on their second quarterback, and they've won game. They beat Miami last week. Mm-hmm. You have the Raiders who are on a backup quarterback. You have the Chargers on a backup quarterback. The Chargers. We don't need to list the Chargers. The Giants won three games in a row with Tommy DeVito. You have Minnesota that's at 7-7, and they have who's their quarterback, right? I don't even know who their quarterback is right now.
Nick Mullins.
Yeah, they won it. Did they win that game?
No, the Bengals. No,
they lost, but they barely. They almost won that game. You have Rams at backup quarterback at a certain point. Like, there's been a ton of injuries, ton of teams. Most of the teams I've already listed. You know, there's still some, like, the Seattle's losing with backup quarterback. Arizona, they were terrible with their backup. Atlanta's, like, been whatever. But, like, all the teams prior, backup quarterbacks, hurt teams all across the board, and they're still winning games. I think that has to say a whole lot about the job that Rob Saleh's doing. I mean, there's no other, like, I don't know who else you – I was arguing with somebody on Twitter yesterday, and they were under the impression that this is all Woody Johnson's fault, which, you know, it does. It starts at the top for sure. But like, when you look at how things have gone for the Jets, so Joe Douglas came in 2019 and he had his goal of, you know, revamping the offensive line and building this team up. He took an offensive lineman in Becton, didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Took Zach Wilson, didn't work. Right. And then you look at those are some of those negatives. We also look at the positives, right? He traded Jamal Adams, got two first round picks, ended up being Elijah Vera Tucker, Garrett Wilson. He found Quincy Williams. Like, he's had a bunch of positives also. I just can't get to the point where I'm like, yeah, you know what? Woody Johnson is the main problem. Because are we going to give Woody Johnson credit for the good things too? Mm-hmm. You know, the Jets have a lot of talent on the team. Was Woody Johnson the one who scouted Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson and Jermaine Johnson, finding Bryce Huff, you know,
right.
Quincy Williams, all these great moves. Did he trade two first round picks for Jamal, trade Jamal Adams for two first round picks? No. So you can't just blame it all on the owner. I'm sorry. This is not James Dolan. It's not. This is not a guy who's like intentionally meddling. We would have heard stories about this. They have reporters. They're really good at their jobs. They hear things. And if Woody Johnson is making personnel decisions, we would know this by now.
There's
fans who just like refuse to admit. The reason I bring up Woody Johnson is they refuse to admit that the coaching staff is really, really hindering this team. And the front office has done some good things, but they've also made major mistakes and they need to be acknowledged.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can't, I mean, I see a lot of people arguing back and forth as to who more of the blame falls on, Douglas or Saleh. And if you're arguing between the two, I say it's Douglas, because Saleh is working with the pieces he was provided with, you know, and it's, you can only go so far with the guys you got. And I'm not saying this is, you know, Saleh's without blame at all. He's got plenty of blame to be thrown around on that coaching staff. I think in order of problems with the offense right now, it's in terms of coaching, it's Nathaniel Hackett. Then it's what's his name? Keith Carter, the offensive line coach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that dude, he came from Tennessee where they had a terrible offensive line, and Saleh like jumped in and was just like, we have to hire this guy to run our offensive line. He's a home run. He's a home run hire. We have to get him. And not only that, apparently the Titans players didn't like him. So it's just goes to show. It's like, that's a bad hire.
And it's clearly it's a bad hire. I mean, watching Mekhi Becton last week, it was
awful.
It was embarrassing. Embarrassing seeing, I mean, like, it's just, the performance.
It was like, there was plenty of screenshots people took from the game on Sunday of Jets offensive linemen either running into one another, or they're already being like two or three Dolphins defensive players in the backfield, and Jets offensive linemen just standing there like, oh, well, we either got beat, or we just missed this guy and Zach got hit, or Trevor Siemian got hit, and it's, you know, it was game over. When Zach fumbled on that first sack, I think you and I both had like the immediate first like instinct, like, well, Zach sucks again. And then you go back and you look at the tape and you're like, oh no. Like, I mean, he didn't even have like a chance to look downfield. And that was pretty much on every single sack, like regardless of who the quarterback was, he didn't have like even a half a second to process the field. And I think also that goes into a bit on the play calling as well, because they still kept calling play actions and as if the run game was any kind of threat. And that just slowed things down and let guys get to the backfield. So there's a lot of blame for the problems yesterday and or on Sunday, and offensive line obviously being the chief among them. And there's more than enough blame to be thrown at the players, but the coaches as well.
Yeah. I mean, you said you're more inclined to blame Douglas, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm more inclined to blame Saleh. There's a lot of talent on this roster, and I think Joe Douglas is, you can blame him for a whole lot of problems, but I think there's also, you know, he's done a lot more for this team than Robert Saleh has, in my opinion. The Jets have the talent. They've been decimated by injuries. That's not on the coaches, but there's definitely there. It's concerning that not a single one of the guys that Joe Douglas has brought in, like just by certain like percentages, right? Like an odds. What are the odds that just like none of these guys pan out?
Right.
Right. Like there's talent. At a certain point, like what else can Joe do? Like he's drafting guys that are putting on good tape in college. Maybe it's on the current coaches on the team who are the ones developing the talent, right? Because
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
it's been two straight regimes where, you know, Douglas got brought in with Adam Gase, like that, like not with, like because of Adam Gase, right? He was brought in, like, I guess they were friends or whatever. Or there was a connection there or something.
Yeah.
Joe was brought in after Gase's first year, and then he got to pick his next coach. They're connected.
Yes.
And Douglas. There's not going to be Douglas isn't going to get to pick another coach. And I don't even think he fully picked this one. I think it was part of the committee. Like, he had a ton of input. I don't know if Woody Johnson was the one who ended up picking Robert Saleh. And Robert Saleh's done a good job on the defensive side of the ball. You can't deny that. Like, the talent is immense on that side of the ball already. But, you know, the way he does things, it certainly has worked many of times. But you also then look at things that haven't worked, like the lack of adjustments, refusing to move Sauce Gardner and follow Jaylen Waddle, things like that. DJ Reed is a really good corner. He was getting smoked yesterday, and we just let it happen.
Yeah,
like, it's the definition of insanity. You're just doing the same thing over and over again. I don't understand it.
That was tough to watch.
You got to change things up and make an adjustment. And eventually, like, sometimes maybe what you're doing doesn't work. Maybe it just doesn't work. Maybe your defensive scheme isn't capable of adjusting for that. I don't know. I don't know enough of the technicals, but the defensive side of the ball, refusing to adjust. There's very few adjustments on the offensive side of the ball. How many times are we going to start the first drive of the game with a run pass, man?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, I feel like I'm losing my mind watching it over and over again. And it's frustrating because we see what Hackett drew up for the Houston game, and they use motion 40% of the time. And I'm pretty sure the Jets are undefeated, or they only have one loss on the season when they use motion. I think they are undefeated. I saw when they use motion at least 40% of the time. How do you not see that as a coach and be like, all right, 40%, and we win every time?
really? Let's keep doing that.
We should do that more.
We should do that. Guys should do that? I can only imagine what offensive coach's room must have been like that they discovered that stat.
You watch Miami, they're first in offense in the league, and they're playing a different sport, man. Like, it's the creativity, the play design. You don't need to be a genius. You don't need to watch the All-22 to know that McDaniel's light years ahead of Hackett.
Oh, without question.
And Hackett, outside of doing being with Rodgers, has just been not good at all. I think we're going to be stuck with him. I think that he is going to be with Rodgers. Rodgers wants to be with Hackett. Big reason why he came to the Jets, because we hired Hackett. I don't know. It's going to be such an interesting offseason. It's going to be hopefully not a painful one, man.
We're back.
You can't re-sign Becton. There's so many holes on the line. You only have two guys that are pieces, and you can't even count on one of them because he's gotten season-ending surgery back-to-back seasons, which is just an Achilles injury is a death sentence for offensive lineman too.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. And it's three at the bare minimum. You need three new starting offensive linemen, and that's like you said, and that's throwing out the fact that you're not exactly sure what ABT's state is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching the SNY post game, and Connor Rogers and Bart Scott were saying the exact same thing as us. Connor Rogers was like, this isn't a situation where a bunch of offensive tackles or a bunch of offensive linemen are going to pop up in free agency and the Jets are going to have their pick of the litter to just start plucking guys. The guys are going to pop up on a free agency list and immediately get re-signed by their teams. Or, the Jets aren't going to be at the top of a lot of people's lists. That's just,
they could. I mean, they have Rodgers. And if Rodgers,
that's the appealing thing. And they might look at Garrett Wilson and Breece and be that could be cool. I want to go play there. But then you're also, you got to weigh the guys that are going to suffer as a matter of because of that. Bart Scott, I think, was saying, if you're going to go out and, to invest all your offseason money in the offensive line, where does that leave Bryce Huff?
Mm-hmm. That's what are you going to do? Say.
What are you going to do? This guy's obviously
your best. Walk.
He's your best edge rusher right now, and I don't think he's an impending free agent, right? Or is he?
I think he might be, but you need to resign. You need to extend him. You need to You need to extend him.
Yeah, and I think they've run into that issue in a big way, because I think they've got a right now they hold the sixth pick. And I pray that someone like Joe Alt from Notre Dame is there.
Or Owen Fashanow from Penn State. Yeah.
Yeah. Just someone like that to take, because there's going to be a guy there, because someone in those top picks is going to take a quarterback. It's going to be really interesting to see what the Bears do. I think that's going to be a very interesting storyline of the offseason. And that'll shape where and who the Jets end up taking, depending on how the rest of these three games. That Jets might end up winning two more games. They mm-hmm. might. They might beat the Commanders. They might beat New England. Not that it matters, but they might.
I mean, it'd be nice if they lost so we can get a better draft pick at this point. We're eliminated. So, like, what's the point of winning?
But I mean, like, we're at the point where I can't see myself wasting time, like, tuning in to watch if he's playing to tune in to watch Trevor Siemian play Joe Flacco.
I won't. Do like,
I can't do that to myself.
I won't be wasting my time with that.
And I hope
Aaron Rodgers. Sure. No.
Yeah, if it was Aaron Rodgers, yeah, I'm there. But
even if we're losing, you know. Like,
I hope next Sunday when it's Christmas Eve, it's going to be cold and they're playing another equally bad team in the Washington Commanders. I hope MetLife Stadium has like 20,000 people in it. I hope it looks like that Carolina Atlanta game yesterday.
Why would you wish that upon 20,000 people?
Cause those 20,000 people are freaking psychopaths.
I know they are.
That's how we're going to spend our Christmas Eve. We're going to go yell at Jets players. Like, yeah.
Can you imagine if like we were like in the hunt, like
Christmas Eve. And it's like,
so let's move on before.
I could feel that you like said the words and like immediately I could tell you just wanted to like pull them back in, like, you can you imagine if we were in the hunt and that was it? Ugh, what a frame. So, what a time.
I know, seriously, I want to do a post-mortem for this season, go through the season, talk it through. It was, dude, the season sucked. Let's just be
feels bad, man.
Yeah, the season sucked. It was not fun. There was so much promise heading in. Start with the Buffalo game, the unbelievable atmosphere. And then obviously, you know, Rodgers goes down and that was horrendous. And the week, and it was incredible to win that game. It was not, it was like a nice little, like, all right, you may have lost like the franchise quarterback, but you got to win so you can be a little happy.
Yeah.
It's week one. You've been looking for it.
It's only week one. Who knows what's going to happen?
So then the Cowboys game, and we just looked terrible outside of like that 2 minute drill at the end of the half with Zach, and he was moving the ball. The Patriots game was an abomination. I was on my way back from a wedding and just listening in the car, and I was like, I woke my girlfriend up. I was like, I yelled at one point. I was so pissed. And like, I scared her because she got startled awake. I was like, oh, she's shit. I gotta turn this game off. This is not good. And then that Chiefs game happened. And like, we genuinely were like, oh, okay. Like, we're putting something together here. We ended up being 1-3, but like, that was like, oh, okay. Like, maybe Zach is like, you know, with Rodgers in his ear, like, turned a corner. He looked really good. Then they beat the Broncos in Denver, the House of Horrors, lose AVT again. Right. We lost AVT that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. We lost AVT again. The miracle game against the Eagles. That was the highlight of the season for sure.
Without a doubt.
The highlight of the season.
I mean, unless
jumping up and down in a bar, losing my mind.
I think the most excited I had been for, like, you know, pretty much an entire second half, except for maybe the Texans game, was that Chiefs game, because it felt like, it's like, wow, like, this is a good team. They're keeping pace with the fucking Chiefs. Like,
yeah,
I don't care if they were down 17-0. Like, okay, like, this team at least has some fight. Like, maybe they lose this game and they lost, but maybe, but they're took, they're taking them right down to the end, and the refs took, you know, regardless of what the referees had, like what impact the referees had on that game, you know, they were in it and fought right to the end. And then, yeah, then that Eagles game, and it went into the bye week. What, four? Was it 4-3? 3-3?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we were 4-3 heading into the bye week.
Yeah, and then they get their first win last week, like since the bye week.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Dude,
that Giants
game. Oh, no, sorry. The Giants game after.
But you knew something was wrong after that Giants game.
Yeah.
Or during that Giants game. Like, I mean, I know it was like terrible weather and everything, but like we saw Zach at a 30 and a half with terrible weather. So I don't care about terrible weather. It was just, this is just, it goes back to coaching, man. You know, this is a poorly coached football team. Now, we watch a lot of football, do we not?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Yeah. We've watched a lot of football, and we've seen a lot of good football, a lot of good football teams. We don't watch them every single play, every single week, but we watch a lot of games. We've watched Bill Belichick make incredible coaching decisions. Mike Tomlin make great coaching decisions. Andy Reid make great coaching decisions. You know, we've seen Bill Cowher, and you know, like there's so many good head coaches we've seen over the years. Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, you know, and we know, we are aware of what good football looks like. What we've been watching these last 13 years has been bad football, bad coaching over and over and over again. Last time the Jets had a good coach was, they had Rex Ryan coached pretty well for 2 years. And then it kind of fell off.
Then he was kind of mediocre, but he was still mediocre. But he was still Rex. So he was like, yeah. All right. And there was like the end of, was that his fourth year? And
I think they went 8-8.
It was they're going to bring him back. But then it came out, it's like the players really wanted to keep him. They kind of fought for him towards the end, and they brought him back for another year. And he got fired after that. But yeah, I would say Rex is like the last
decent good
coach. You know, Todd Bowles had 2015, but 2015 team was an enigma. Like,
you can make the argument that the Jets have never had a truly good head coach in the history of the franchise. In fact, I would make that argument.
Really?
Yeah.
Bill Parcells.
Okay, I forgot about
Bill Parcells.
Yeah. Bill Parcells. I forgot that Bill Parcells was the head coach. I was not even alive when he was the head coach.
Oh, it was 98.
Okay, so I was 3.
I was going to games. So
the Jets have had one good head coach in the history of the franchise. One single good head coach, Bill Parcells.
I know there's gonna be a bunch of. I know my dad's listening to this right now, and he's cursing your name. He's like, "What about Weeb Eubank? He won a Super Bowl." And you're right. Weeb Eubank did win a Super Bowl. So
yeah, he did. Yeah,
for that alone, Weeb Eubank gets put in the.
How many teams were in the league that year?
That's a great question. Well, it was also two different leagues. So
it's
yeah. AFL and the NFL.
Yeah, what was the what were the average air yards per pass?
I'd love to see that. Actually, it's in a box. I'd love to see those stats.
Yeah, I would go. I'm confident saying like. Is Weeb Eubank in the Hall of Fame?
Good question. Let's check it out.
Bill Parcells, Hall of Fame head coach. They had Bill Belichick for a cool, you know, 12 hours. They like had Herm Edwards. He wasn't anything special.
Weeb Eubank is in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, so they have had two Hall of Fame coaches in there. What you're like, it's been 60 something years of Jets football.
Close to it.
And one of those head coaches, you know, went through a similar fate as Robert Saleh, losing a good quarterback to Achilles tear. And the other won a Super Bowl, but it was the third one and it was a long time ago. So I don't care about that one at all. I have no emotional connection to Super Bowl III. It's tough, man. It's tough finding a good head football coach. And I think that it's time that the Jets, I can't say it's time the Jets get an offensive guy, because the last one they got was Nate was definitely worse than the one we have right now. That's for sure. And Adam
Gase. I don't even know what to call Adam Gase an offensive guy. He's just a guy. He was a guy that was brought up on the shoulders of a great quarterback, kind of like Nathaniel Hackett. And Peyton Manning elevated and made Adam Gase look like a competent person, kind of like Aaron Rodgers makes Nathaniel Hackett look like
a competent person. Why can't we find a guy who's like Kyle Shanahan, like came to Atlanta, right? His offensive coordinator there. And turns Matt Ryan from a pretty good quarterback into an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brock Purdy is going to be an MVP.
He's the front runner right now.
We have
Mr. Irrelevant is about to be
McDaniel's turned Tua into the passing leader. Guy can't throw past 50 yards.
But it does help Tua when he has Jalen Waddle and Tyreek.
For sure.
Tyreek is a. You can still make the argument that he kind of deserves MVP. Also, not going to get it.
He's unbelievable. Yeah, he won't get it. Unbelievable,
and
it's going to be Brock.
That made me laugh too. It's like we're all going into the game. It's like, oh shit, they don't have Tyreek. All right, cool. Like that might help a lot. Like not their best offensive.
How naive player. And stupid.
And then then like 1:30 rolls around and it was all over.
Like, oh my god, dude, it was not even 1:30, it was like 1:15.
And then Raheem Mostert breaks single season touchdown record and
for the Dolphins franchise.
He throws the extra cherry on top by getting two.
I don't think what's the record? 32? Is that what David Thompson season? Had? Or 28? Was it 28 touchdowns?
Maybe. I don't know.
Tomlinson had the record. I know that for a fact. I think that was the 2006 season when they went like 14-2. Tell me I'm wrong.
Hold on. LaDainian Tomlinson, 28.
28 in 06?
Yep.
And what was their record that year?
San Diego Chargers.
Marty Schottenheimer, head coach.
That's right. They were 9-7. Oh wait, nope. Sorry. They were 14-2. They improved on 9-7.
14-2. Nailed it.
14-2.
Yeah, and then they lost
in the divisional round.
And the divisional. To the Patriots, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And the Colts ended up winning the Super Bowl that year. That was a Colts Patriots AFC Championship, I think. Right.
Yeah, I think so. Was that
Bears Colts?
It was Bears Colts Super Bowl. Yeah.
Devin Hester to turn the opening kickoff.
Right. Peyton Manning against Rex Grossman.
Yeah. Jesus. where were we? So Eagles win. Yeah. Top moment of the season for sure. The worst moment of the season for me wasn't yesterday. I think it was probably that Chargers game, because I went to that game. Yeah. That was atrocious. And it was a nice night. It was like kind of chilly, but like it was a nice night. And we were like, we won three in a row. We're feeling good. We're coming off the bye. Or no, we came off the bye for the Giants, excuse me.
Yeah, and they won that one.
But like, we beat the Giants. We're 4-3. We're feeling really good. And just an absolute stinker of a game. A game that Justin Herbert had 136 passing yards. And the Chargers had 191 total yards of offense. We turned it over three times, and it was just an absolute disaster. Zach Wilson threw it 49 times. And then it just kind of spiraled, man. Raiders game, 16-12. Just horrible loss to the Raiders. Absolutely demolished back-to-back weeks, let up 30 points each to the Dolphins and the Bills. And then you have that 13-8 loss to the Falcons.
Oh.
The Raiders and the Falcons game, that might combine those two games be worse than that Chargers game for me. Just the sheer disgustingness of those games. I mean, it's just like, think about like if we lost that game of the Giants, like it just, that's what those Raiders and Falcons games feel like to me.
Yeah. And it goes, they put up the statistic yesterday before Mostert broke the TD record that he had 19 and the Jets only have 12.
Yeah. 12
for the whole season. The whole season. And
the whole season, man.
The whole season. It is like bad. It is like truly hard to be as bad on offense as the Jets have been this season. And they had their fun games, the Texans game, the Chiefs game, where the offense was fun to watch. And I thank God. I mean, who knows what's going to happen in the last three games, but thank God that Breece and Garrett have managed to make it through the season. But even they, it's like, they can only do so much. Breece can't do anything. Breece got 6 carries on Sunday. 6. Because it's just like he couldn't get through. And
him and Garrett are like it's there's there the Jets have a clear top 5 of like terms of talent and like importance to the team. I think number 1 is Quinnen.
I think so too.
And two is Sauce. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Sauce may be 1, actually. It's close. It's just his passing league. And he's like, they didn't target him once.
Yeah. On and it's going to be one of those things where people are going to see, like, it's going to be the stat people. And there's like that tweet that always rolls around, I see. And it's, I can't wait to argue with people online about a game I didn't watch by only looking at the stats.
Yeah.
Like, that's when people are going to see the Jalen Waddle stat line and be like, oh, Jalen Waddle cooked Sauce all game. Not realizing
Sauce wasn't targeted.
Like,
the whole game.
And I think you're right that it is, in terms of importance, top 5. It's like they're like 1A, 1B.
Yeah. And then Garrett and Breece. And then, I mean, you can put like probably CJ Mosley.
I would say CJ Mosley 5th.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because there's no one else on the offense worth putting in there, seriously.
No.
Conklin deserves like praise. He's awesome. Like,
Conklin's an honorable mention. I mean,
he's the contested catch king.
I mean, that dude jumps up like a wide receiver, and he almost pulled down that one that was like the ball was like literally on the Dolphins.
Yeah, we need the catch and traffic rating to be boosted for him. He's amazing.
Like, he's great, and I love him.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch him with Rodgers next year. Like, that's going to be a lot of fun. Finally, like, you know. Been a while.
To see everyone play with Rodgers.
Like, it's been a while since Rodgers has had like a good tight end. Like, what? Like the last one. Like, he's had a couple over the years. He had Jimmy Graham for a little bit, Mercedes Lewis for a little bit, Jermichael Finley back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, there's been some guys. And then most recently was like Robert Tonyan.
Yeah.
But Conklin's like definitely one of the better pass catchers that he had had at tight end. Just a shame we won't see him this year.
Yeah.
Anyway. What else? I mean, you know, the Houston game was nice. It was good to see Zach. It definitely gave us a glimpse of, like, I think that Zach can definitely play well when, you know, the coaching staff plays well, like does a good job. Like I said, they had 40% of other plays be motion. That's not something that like they do. They certainly didn't have that like, on Sunday. And then, you know, it's one. I mean, but like the thing is, it's only one half. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is like, if Zach doesn't come back from this head injury, whatever it is,
yeah,
it's probably, we may have seen the last of him. You know, when this report came out, like when they first came back to him before the Houston game, there was like the thought, like, Zach didn't want to play because he didn't want to risk getting hurt because they promised that they'd trade him. Well, now he's hurt. So, you know, I'm just not sure that he's gonna come back this season. We'll see. That's the whole season up to this point.
Yeah, I mean, like, those are the highlights.
If you want to call them the highlights.
That top offensive plays montage, or the touchdown montage, that they post on YouTube every year is going to be about 8 minutes long, because they're going to have to beef it up with some extra footage, and it's going to be tough.
We're going to get preseason touchdowns.
I guarantee you, they're going to show that Rodgers season game. They're going to show that one for sure. I mean, it was a great play. Don't get me wrong. And then Rodgers was able to like celebrate and stuff like that. But they're going.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Like when Garrett gets the ball, it's just like you can just know he's special. He's legitimately special with the ball in his hands. There's only a couple of guys in the league that can do what he like make guys miss the way he does at the wide receiver position. It's like him, Jamar Chase. And I'm blanking on like all the, like Tyreek. Well, I mean,
you saw Jalen Waddle, and it was annoying because they were saying it a bunch of times during the game that Mike McDaniel was scheming to get Jalen Waddle open. There's a reason Jalen Waddle did as well as he did yesterday on Sunday, was because guess what? Sauce was locking it down. Mike McDaniel saw that and was like, okay, well, I'm going to adjust here. Jalen Waddle's not going to go up against Sauce. Then he can lock down a second or third guy. Sweet.
It was going to be on Garrett Wilson the whole game. Jalen Ramsey.
And he was. And there were a few moments where Garrett had him beat. There was one play in particular where Garrett had him beat. But guess what? By the time Garrett had him beat, Zach had a defender in his face. And you see that all 22. And Garrett's going to watch that and just be like, everyone knows who to get pissed at for Sunday's game. And it's those five guys that were on the offensive line. And it's one of those things that those guys have to, you know, watch the tape as well, look at the team and just be like, yeah.
I mean, we know how those meetings went, because we saw a video of it during Hard Knocks when Salah was tearing into them.
Yeah, I hope they got the same thing, because that was a great speech to give, and he laid it out in front of the whole team. And you know, that was a healthy offensive line. Those were the five starters. So I can only imagine what he must be saying to the guys that went out there yesterday.
Yeah, and you know, it's been a couple of years now of like, you know, at the whole building knowing it's Zach's fault. The QB is holding us back. Zach did not hold us back on Sunday. Trevor Siemian held us back for sure with those ridiculous throws that he had.
Yo, that
first dude was just fucking chucking it on. It was like shit.
It was the epitome of, and I saw it. It was the Bengals game on Saturday. Like Jake Browning was just like throwing it up and hoping that T. Higgins
was just coming down with it. Yeah,
worked. So Trevor Siemian was kind of doing that too. He was just like, someone might be open.
It was so bad.
It was awful.
I saw videos from the like the stands, like from the crowd, and like it was like from behind, getting to see the whole play develop. Like, bro, what are you looking at? Like, what are you looking at?
Oh my
God. He threw the double coverage. Randall Cobb's like 6 yards behind the play. It overthrew it. I like, oh my God. It was,
I remember
when we first signed Trevor Siemian, and we may be guilty of this, but like, I'm pretty sure I saw Nania tweet like Trevor Siemian, like, cause everybody was like, we need to get Zach out. Like he's holding us back. Like we need to try anything. We didn't realize how good we had it with Zach compared to the other guys. Like we had Nania tweeting like, 2 years ago, 5-game stretch with the Saints, he had 11 touchdowns and 4 interceptions.
Yeah, like,
you know, it's possible. Yeah, we don't have Sean Payton running things. Sorry.
And it was just like Salah must have felt just so much pressure from guys in the locker room, probably other coaches, the media, the fan base to bench Zach, and
probably his family, like his brother. His kids are
like, "Dad, this guy sucks. Can you get him out?"
His brother's a vocal guy, right? Yeah,
right.
Dude, you need to bench Zach.
What are you doing? Like, you gotta get him out of here. And so you probably felt he was like, "Yeah, I don't have a choice." And that's why he said, "He's like, Dak still gives us the best chance to win." And we were all like, "This dude's crazy." 2 weeks go by. All right, he might have been onto something here.
it's like in the movie Miracle.
Yeah,
Herb Brooks is like sitting there and he's thinking about like cutting Mike Ruzioni, and he's like talking to Patty and his wife, and he's like, "This kid's done everything I've asked him. can't cut this kid. And she's like, so then don't cut him. Like, so
like what are you talking about? So don't,
don't bench. If you're there, you're in the building. If you, every week you're like, he gives us the best chance to win. Like,
stand by it.
We're not in practice. We're not seeing
yeah.
Trevor's, it's not like we have Gardner Minshew and you're like refusing to bench Zach because you don't want to give Gardner, like last year, we've seen Mike White like perform.
Right. You know? It's so, a different story
like,
last year.
We were like, dude, like we know that he's better than him. Like we've seen it. Like he comes in and he dominates. Like just put him in, please, anything. This year, we're like, maybe Brett Rypien? Trevor Siemian, maybe? Like,
I don't know. Tim Boyle?
We have to try something. Nothing's working, man. And we were like, oh, I immediately regret this decision.
Yeah, it's that Black Friday game. I was like, yeah, they fucked up.
We fucked up.
Like, they're like the video of Rodgers turning to Zach, and Rodgers is like, this is just fucked up, man, isn't it? And Zach's like, yeah. You can like read his lips. He's like, yeah, it's fucked up, right? And Zach's like, yeah, this is fucked up.
Yeah, so tough. Yeah. And they were right. And that's speaking of there, no one encapsulated Sunday better than Aaron Rodgers whenever the camera went to him. And just like
he was just rolling his eyes.
There was a point where his eyes were just closed for like 6 or 7 seconds. And I was just wondering what could be going through his head. Like the fact that he wants to be out there because he knows that he'd be playing better, or that he regretted pushing for a trade to here, or just I don't know. And you can tell just how he's gonna realize when he looks at the old 22 that it was even worse than what he was seeing on the field. Like he doesn't even know how bad it was until he sees those clips because he couldn't see.
It's so wild, dude. So wild.
And he's gonna see that and be like, I want to beat the ever loving shit out of this entire offensive line. Mekhi Becton, no longer best friends.
He's pissed at himself too. He feels guilty for getting hurt. And all this happening, which is why people are like, if he comes back, he's coming back. He feels like a piece of shit for getting hurt, and he feels like he's let everybody down, which I guess he has, but that's not he didn't let us down. His Achilles did.
His Achilles snapped. It's like
his Achilles let him down. If anything, it didn't let us down. We're just, our happiness may be tethered to this team, but that doesn't mean that we can't have empathy for the man. But yeah, man, that's the season. The season's over. This team continues to torture us. It's been 13 years. That's a long fucking time. I was 15 the last time the Jets made the playoffs. I was a sophomore in high school. What happened 13 years ago?
Have you seen that tweet going around Jets Twitter
in 2013?
Oh no! Don't do this.
Get Lucky by Daft Punk.
Wait, 2013. They lost the playoffs in 2010.
No, you're right. I'm so sorry. Because I was thinking 13 years. Okay. Wait, no.
It was 2010.
It's been 13 years, so it would be
2010.
It'd be today's 11 or 10-11.
Yeah.
So, all right, later, 2010. Dynamite, Tayo Cruz.
Oh, my God. That was a highlight of my college soundtrack parties.
Airplanes by B.O.B.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Only Girl in the World by Rihanna.
Yep.
Love the Way You Lie, Eminem and Rihanna.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The top movie in 2010. Inception.
That was the top box office movie?
Popular movies in 2010. The Social Network came out.
Okay.
I just put, hold on. Yeah, let's see. Top box office movie. Top.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. Because this was pretty much pre-MCU. I mean, some of the Marvel movies had come out, but this was pre-First Avengers, so.
Avatar.
Okay.
Avatar was the highest grossing movie. Toy Story 3, Alice in Wonderland, Iron Man 2, The Twilight Saga, Inception, Deathly Hallows Part 1.
What?
Despicable Me, Shrek Forever After, and How to Train Your Dragon round out the top 10.
I can't believe Harry Potter's that low.
M. Night Shyamalan's The Last Airbender came out that year.
Oh my God.
The Other Guys came out that year.
Yes. All right. So something else good came out of 2010 besides the Jets playoff run.
Jets, Jackass 3D, Sherlock Holmes,
oh.
The Expendables, Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakquel. what else am I thinking of? I think that usually it's just movies and box office or movies and music, right? For like what you look up for.
Popular TV shows, I suppose, but that's just, have you seen that thing going around just today?
What is it?
It's like, take a picture of yourself the last time the Jets made the playoffs and take a picture of yourself today. And it's like Andrew Claudio posted one, and I swear to God, he looks like he's like a baby.
Yeah, let me look at that.
Dylan Hornick also posted one. I mean, that guy has a baby face regardless. Dylan, if you're listening, sorry, but like he looks like Benjamin Button at the end of the movie.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's just got the hood up. Like.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's
let's see. Dylan. These are former hosts of this show.
Dylan more on Mets Twitter, but
yes. Oh my God, he looks the same.
He has a baby face, so it's kind of like
someone quote tweeted and goes, "My God, in 12 years, this man has become Mr. Met because his photo has been Mr. Met." Oh man, that's good stuff. And by good stuff, I mean depressing and horribly upsetting stuff. Because I 12 years ago, I'd have to find something on Facebook. Oh man. All right. I got nothing else.
Done here. I don't want to talk about this team anymore.
I know. I guess we'll be back next week.
Yeah. I guess so.
Probably talk about the draft and stuff. Maybe some bowl games we can talk about or something.
Hey, Our Dukes play on Saturday. JMU Air Force.
Let's break down the Dukes game.
The Armed Forces Bowl. Let's go.
Oh, shit. I've been to the Armed Forces Bowl before. And that's at TCU Stadium, right?
Is it in
Fort Worth?
Let's check. Armed Forces Bowl. I know it's Saturday.
The Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl, right?
Yeah, Fort Worth. Fort Worth.
I just remember. I remember it was Southern Miss and Tulane playing when I was there. And, the opening press conference was just so funny because it was like executives from Lockheed Martin talking about football and just like, you guys are war criminals.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we kick off, I'd like to demonstrate why you all don't have free health care. E2 stealth bomber. I have no idea if it's like Raytheon.
We're gonna have a flyover with 16 fighter jets. Those are your tax dollars at work, folks. All right, that's enough. We don't need to talk about this. Follow me on Twitter at Jesse Finver. Connor, where can I follow you?
At Connor, Connor, double underscore Sheeran, Sheeran.
Folks, that's it for us. The Jets season's over. We continue to be miserable. We're still searching for that playoff berth.
One day we'll get there, maybe.
One day. One day we'll have more than three happy episodes in a row.
Right.
Maybe we'll reach four in one day.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Well, we did last year. We had five.
Win streak.
Last year.
That's a long time ago. That feels like a long time ago.
Yeah. But hey, listen, Mariners, the Sacramento Kings, they all broke their streaks. And they were a lot longer than the Jets.
Why not us?
Why not us?
All right, folks.